So we've got David in the house. How are you, man? Sorry, I didn't see you there.
It's okay. How are you?
How you doing? Good, thanks, man. What's happening?
Nothing really.
Cool, cool. You feeling a bit better this week? You were sick last time.
Oh, yeah. A lot better, man.
Cool, cool.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm a little husky today, only because I was near an open fireplace all night last night. So it's I'm feeling it in the throat, but I'm fine. I'm not sick anymore, which is good.
How's the job?
Yeah, I survived my first week. It was it was all right, man. IT work's kind of not. It can be busy, but it's not that hard. So it's fine. If I was building fences or something, I'd probably be a whole lot more tired than I am. It just feels like I've been on the computer at home all day. That's the kind of feeling I get from it. So,
yeah, it sucks going back to a 9-to-5 job, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, sort of. I don't know. I kind of have mixed emotions about it. Like, I have one part of me hates the idea of not doing what I like every day, but the other part of me is like, it gets me out of doing the same thing all the time, even just for a while, just to break it up. And when you're dealing with people in the workplace who are like professionals at what they do, it's good. It kind of switches my brain into a different gear rather than just talking, you know, to musicians, not on YouTube, but, you know, out at gigs or whatever. So it's been good. I sort of forgot I knew a lot of stuff. It was like the last day where I started remembering like all the complicated Microsoft stuff that I actually got in my brain. So yeah, no, it was good, man. It was all good.
Cool. Dude, I don't have you on Google. I can't see your image. Oh, now I can.
Oh, really? Yeah, you disappeared before as well, actually. I think it could just be a connection thing. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. I'm getting a bit of lag here.
All right, let me see if I can do anything here to help that. Hang on. Let me see if this I just want to check one thing here. Yeah, I don't know, man. It looks all right on my side, but let me just check this out.
Do you have my own image there?
Yeah, I see you. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, my connection's fine, man. I just did a test on it. So I'm not too sure. You'll have to get a new internet provider. Nah, so I don't know. Could just be glitching. Not much, man. I had a little bit of a play last night. Took out the 335, and it'd been a full week since I played guitar, so it was a bit funny, actually. It felt a bit I lose it pretty fast when I don't play often enough, so.
Yeah.
All right. So who we got here? We've got Aaron. How are you, Aaron?
Hey, guys. How are you? Cheers.
Hello,
from Mexico.
Aaron.
So you're from Mexico, you said, yeah?
Yeah, sorry. I have a bit of delay here, but...
That's all right. No worries. Yeah, we can hear. Yep. Just make sure you have your YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, just hit pause because you'll be behind.
Yeah, I did it.
All right, so, awesome, man.
You know, so excuse my English, but it's not very proficient. I need to practice a little more, but...
Yeah, so do I, mate, so don't worry about that. Yeah, doing well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for stopping in, mate. I appreciate it. I don't think we've spoken before, have we?
No, this is first time. So also with David. So you were talking about the Warmoth guitars. I love those things, but it's a little bit expensive. So
they're really overpriced. Like they are. Yeah. They're extremely expensive.
I'm not a big fan of the Gibsons, you know. But because I also a left-handed player, so I got my Telecaster.
Yeah, nice.
Beautiful.
I like
color,
the color. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, it plays very well, and it cost me like $285.
Hmm.
And and this is my 2004 Mexican Standard Strat. So
yeah, very nice.
Yeah,
I wonder. I wonder if Mexican strats and tallies are cheaper in Mexico than they are in the US.
No, not at all.
Okay, that sucks. You think they'd be made locally? They'd be able to give you a good deal price. That's not fair.
Yeah, Mira, that's right. Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron, let me see your Telecaster again.
The Telecaster.
The Tele, yes. Beautiful color.
Actually, I picked up this because I saw one of the Warmoth. That is mm-hmm. Blue Burst, I think. The body was Blue Burst, and I fell in love with it. So.
Es muy bonita.
Yeah, thank you.
yeah, that color's great, man. Looks really cool.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's the music scene like where you live? Do you get much in the way of live music and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I sometimes I go out and there's some local bars with jazz and blues bands.
Cool.
Sometimes I hang out with some friends. There's a lot of discos, which I don't like to go out. I prefer to go out and hear some live music, blues.
Yeah, cool.
That's it. Yeah.
Do you have any guys you could name just rough off the top of your head, local players that are worth checking out on YouTube or on the internet at all? Any?
No, I don't think so, because they are just sort of like amateur, so they're not so.
I don't have to be professional. I just meant we got lots of guys that are great players that no one knows. They don't have to be household names or anything. Just some good players that a good player that you think of off top of your head.
That's right. So
what do you play, man? What sort of music are you into?
Yeah, I'm also into blues. My favorite player is Eric Johnson, which I met in 2006.
Nice.
I'm lucky to know his old manager, and I saw him in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, wow. Cool.
So I actually have a signed picture of him right here.
Hey, cool. Oops, sorry, I'll just change camera here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Cool, man.
Yeah.
What was he like in person? Was he a nice guy?
Excuse me?
Was he a nice guy when you met him?
Yeah, he's a very down-to-earth, he's very humble. I mean, he's a great, great, great guy. And he's a bit shy, but he's a really, really good guy.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty quiet spoken sort of bloke guy. You know, like he's one of those.
Yeah, he's like very soft spoken guy. Like, oh, how are you? Thanks. Hi, Aaron. It's like that.
Yeah. Cool. Very... Oh, that's good. All right, we've got a couple extra people in here now. We got Paul. Longren, John Marcello, oh man, why do I always try to pronounce it properly? See, if I pronounce it in the Australian accent, it sounds terrible. It's like Jean Marcellino. There you go. I think I've almost got it. I'm terrible pronouncing some of these some names, even my own sometimes. It's terrible. Yeah. It's pretty bad. So, David, what do you think of that JLD overdrive pedal?
It's a kind of a tube screamer, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of. It's got a little less rolled out tops on it, I think. It's that sort of sounder, yeah.
I love the sound of it with your Stratocaster on the neck pickup.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it... Yeah, sort of. I got a message from Rick the other day, and he said something that he's been funny. He said he thinks it's the Stratocaster's savior.
Seriously, I've been searching for a kind of overdrive or even a fuzz, which sounds compressed and dark. You know, to sound like a sort of a flute when you're playing the guitar.
Okay.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, sort of
that
like a
highly roll. Compressed dark sound that you solo, and it sounds almost like people say it sounds like a violin. It's not exactly like a violin. It's more it's a more compressed sound. It's more dark sound.
I'll show you what you need, mate. One sec. I'll just bring this up. You probably got a few of these already, but let me share this with everybody. Can you see that?
Not yet. I've got some. Yes, I do. What is that? The metalizer.
Yeah, that's what you need for all the tones you could ever want. I did a demo of this. It's coming up pretty soon. I've tried to make it as humorous as I can because, I don't play metal, so it should be pretty funny. Hopefully, it goes up this month.
Do you want to know the name of the gentleman you were trying to say?
Yeah, go for it.
Jean Marcelino.
There you go. See, I was pretty not close at all. Sorry for butchering your name there. I apologize.
No, seriously, I was searching for that kind of sound. That sounds like a violin. It's not exactly a violin. It's not exactly a flute, but it's a highly compressed, dark sound that suits very well for solos. And I think that pedal really came close to it.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Especially on your strap neck pickup.
Yep. Yeah, it's got that sort of, I don't know if they call it that woolly sort of sound on a strap, but it's pretty cool. I actually really liked it on the 335 as well, the 335. Seemed to have a lot of nice chirp in the tops, which was, you know, if you wind the top end or most of the way up, it's great. So, yeah, that demo is doing pretty well so far. It's got quite a few hits, and it's funny, the company contacted me. I need to email them back today, actually. Right. They want me to do the rest of their range now, which is great. So,
yeah. Our Brazilian friends have lots of great stuff. You should check their GNI pedals.
Okay. I got a couple of links on Facebook from, I can't remember who sent it off the top of my head now, but GNI, oh yeah, here we go, cool. I'll just load this up and then share it with everybody. But yeah, there's some great stuff out there, and this is what it's all about, man. I love working with these companies that, you know, maybe they're well known where they are, but not everywhere else. So it's a chance for me to help sort of get their name out and all that kind of stuff. That's what's cool. I really enjoy that. Like when I worked with, SVI Sound or SV Sound, no one really knew who they were. Now everyone knows who they are. I reckon it's cool fun doing that. Let me share this. I'll just see if this is the guys. So we got...
No, God, not the metalizer.
No, I think you got lag, man, because we're on a different page.
Yeah, a lot of lag.
They got a whole lot of different stuff. Oh, yeah, man, the pedals look really good.
They are. They sound amazing.
Cool.
You know, the thing is, in terms of economy, stuff in Brazil is very expensive, especially electronic stuff.
Yeah.
So they have to create their own stuff in order to use it, and especially in relationship to electric instruments. So they have lots of brands in terms of pedals and amps.
Yeah.
Because it's really expensive. For instance, if you want to buy a Boss pedal or Digitech pedal or some other brand from the United States or even from Europe, it's very expensive for them. So they have to build their own stuff.
Yeah.
And they do it really well.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I haven't had a good chance to really check out a lot of their stuff, but this JL pedal, man, it was arguably my favorite one this year.
Yeah, it was really a surprise.
Build quality was awesome. It was easy to use, and I couldn't get a bad sound from it at all. There's always on pedals you get sometimes how many, like
how many pedals you have now, Shane?
Well, in my personal collection, probably 50. I've downsized a lot. You know, I had 150 of them almost at one point. So, but I got to say, I get a lot of stuff for free, you know, for shooting videos for companies and stuff. So that was the reason I started the shop online, was just to sell stuff that I, you know, to get by, and also the stuff I'm not going to use again. But I've kept probably 50 pedals that I love. And I was actually thinking the other day of maybe going through the stuff that I've kept and just putting like a 25-minute video together and having as much, you know, having some fun with what I've got and just seeing what I can get out of them. Because
yeah, it's
Are there any brands in Mexico that you know of, that like pedal brands or?
Well, the Hoyo or Yoyo are getting really, really. They are selling well here in Mexico.
Yeah.
Because as they've said, the major brands are very expensive here also as well.
Yeah, in Latin America, it's very expensive stuff from United States and from Europe.
Yeah, very.
The rest of the world gets ripped off, hey? Like, unless you're in the States, you can get a Blues Junior for a couple of $100. Here, they're over $1,000. So, Nick, you've got it good, mate, if you're there. Oh, no, I think he might have frozen. Oh, no, there he is. He's back.
I'm back now. Hey, guys.
Hey.
It was
how are you, man?
And then I came right back. What's going on, guys? How are you?
All sweet, you?
Thanks.
No complaints. It's Friday. All the kids are asleep, and my wife is asleep. So I was like, this is great.
Just don't break out the what did you call it last time? The Irish Whisper? Was that what it was?
Yeah, exactly. My Irish Whisper is quite strong. The neighbors can hear it. My daughter has it now. My daughter's 5, and I'm like, Madeline, I'm right in front of you. And my wife's like, you can't say anything about that little girl. You're twice as bad.
Yeah. Man, so thanks for stopping in, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for doing it up.
No worries. I think we're going to be pretty safe this time. I don't want to like get ahead of myself, but unless someone on my email list was cause of the problems, then we should be good. We should be good today. So
it was interesting last time. I was like, oh wow.
Yeah,
if you ever can't be unseen.
Yeah, exactly.
If you ever think of doing one of these, Nick, on your channel, man, I'll join, but don't post the links publicly, mate. I tell you.
Yeah, no, that's I'm one of those guys. I'm happy to have watched and learned for a bit from you, Shane, and figured out the do's and the don'ts of the situation. You know.
Yeah. See, I used to do them on my own, so I never thought twice about like giving links out. And then when I started doing it, I was like, oh, it should be pretty safe. I didn't expect that to happen, and it. Man, there's some funny videos on YouTube of, well, not so much funny, but you got to laugh when it's not you, you know? So, there's some crazy stuff going on.
Well, you have to take it that it's not personal. It's nothing against you. It's what the
players do. That's it. They'll spam anybody that's going live if they can. Well, so.
And I think between the ages of maybe 12 and 16 or so, we've all done some pretty stupid things.
Like
the internet that really lets you be. I would have been much worse with the internet. You know?
Yeah.
True, man. Remember the other day we were talking about what we did when we were younger? We used egg cars.
I once got put in protective custody from throwing eggs off an overpass, a highway overpass. But the problem is they're smart. The fence is so tight. That, like, you basically, it's a math problem of at night, pushing the egg and trying to figure out the, you know, 70 feet, 20 meters or whatever, for the egg to fall to hit a 70-mile-an-hour, 100-kilometer-an-hour car going by, and you're like, two or three dozen eggs, I think we might have gotten a car.
Yeah, that's that'd scare somebody silly, man, if they're driving
it. In hindsight, you're like, what were we thinking? But,
yeah,
that was stupidity.
Yeah, I think we've all done some stupid stuff, but none of which I want to release publicly right now.
I believe that. Most of mine, at this point, Most of my stupid stuff have exceeded the statute of limitations for any chargeability or whatever. And it was all mostly good, clean fun. So
yeah, yeah, cool, cool. So how's things with your channel, Nick? What's coming up?
Great.
I've been at work all week and I haven't had a chance to check out any videos at all, pretty much.
I got sick this week, just a little head cold or whatever, and it kind of took the speed off my fastball. And I got a new toy this week, which has made me not do any videos, which was this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. Beautiful.
Let me click on your thing here. Hang on. There you go.
So it's a 76 Les Paul Custom Black Beauty, 3 pickups with the Fretless Wonder frets on it. And it's got Duncan Jazz, a Duncan Distortion, and then a DiMarzio Super Distortion in the middle. So she's hot. And then I added the Bigsby as soon as I got it. It's a Vibramate setup.
That's a pretty nice chipsin.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of chipsins would have had to go into getting this thing.
Hey, Nick, I know you.
Hey, turn it around again. Can I just see the neck?
Yeah, so it's a maple neck, a little bit of wear on it.
Yeah, I thought there was some wear on there. Okay, cool.
I wanted one. There were a couple ones that were even cleaner. I got a really good deal on it, relatively speaking. But there were some that were even cleaner than it. But I wanted one that had shown the signs of 40 years of age so that I could occasionally leave it out. And if the kids bounce a ball off of it or bump it, I'm not going to cry about it. So yeah, that's been fun. So I've been taking that all over the place and playing with it. And then, but we recorded a bunch of videos last week. We'll put up. Thank you again for doing the promo video. I think we picked up nearly 500 subscribers.
Yeah, wow.
Since then, good so stuff. It's been cool. It's good stuff. So we're prepping some stuff and.
No worries, man. Started,
good job.
I know. Will heard from Sophie. Was it Sophie?
Yeah.
So she was like pretty surprised and said thanks to everybody as well. So her subscribers went up. She hasn't done many videos, I don't think, in the last few months or something. But she was all of a sudden getting lots of emails telling her that people had subscribed and all that kind of stuff. And no, I'm glad, man. I'm glad it's
super cool. And the guys that have come over, they're like, hey, I saw your video. They've been good dudes too. I mean, like that's nice. You know, like it's a good community. You're always afraid of like. Expansion certain sizes because I mean, like David and a bunch of other guys that come through my channel. They're just good people to talk gear and shoot the breeze with, which is it's fun. I like that that aspect of it.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, you'll find most of the guys that are sort of hanging around the channel on the most part are pretty good. And I guess, you know, everyone we've had on the stream so far has been great. So that's a good sign as well.
No, it's very, very cool. How's work? How's the office world?
Yeah, it's good, man. It's good to switch gears in my brain. I was just saying to David before, it's been sort of refreshing thinking about other stuff other than just like guitars and amps and music, and it's been good just switching on that other side of my brain for a little while. So 1 week down, I think. Actually, it was supposed to be 7 weeks, but now they think it'll be 5. So I might be done sooner than later, which is fine because it's a little monotonous, but it, you know, the corporate world's a funny beast, man. It's just...
It's weird.
All these people... Yeah, it's funny because I've worked for a private company previously, which were... It was really high stress, late hours, all that kind of stuff, and now I've gone to a government job. And it's like at 5 p.m., it's basically like someone called in a bomb threat. Everybody's just out. It's gone. It's ghost town, man. That's it. They're done. There's none of this working late stuff because of the type of business they run. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people turn up right on or after 9 and they leave right on or before 5. So it's like, oh, okay, everyone's gone. Time to leave. So it's a very different atmosphere to what I'm used to, but it's good, man. It's all right. It'll keep me going and for
good little cash flow type situation.
So basically, Shane.
No stress is good, or low stress anyway.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry, yep.
Shane, you became a government contract sharpshooter then.
Yeah.
you carry a guitar case, but inside there's a sniper rifle.
Yeah, that's it. No, I'm just doing like a big deployment of operating systems to computers. So it's I'm locked in a room. I'm not locked in a room. I'm in a back sort of server room, just pumping out Windows images with, you know, all the stuff that comes along with whatever all the software they use for their business. And it it's easy stuff. It's just like the company unfortunately isn't the most organized compared to where I've worked. They don't test and or deploy and test a lot of or test and do they test things properly. They make last minute decisions that no one's tried, and then all of a sudden things don't work. So we spent the first few days sort of pulling everything back and starting again, which sucked. But it's one of those things. Yeah. So we got Steve. Steve, you don't look as pixelized today, mate. How you doing?
Hey, Shane, how you doing? How can you hear me?
Perfectly. Yep.
Hi, Steve. You,
how you doing, Matt? David, right?
Yeah. How are you doing, sir?
Okay, now tell me the proper way. David or David?
You can call me either way. It's okay. People usually call me Dave.
Okay. I just like to call people by their proper pronunciation of their first name.
You want to try it?
Go ahead.
David.
David.
Yeah, David.
Well, my middle name's spelt the same as that, and I say David, so. Shane David. Yeah, we've also got...
People usually call me Dave.
Yeah, it's just...
Dave works.
Whatever your preference is, man. Whatever your preference. Yeah, so Shane, I'm just using a little bit of different equipment this time. I've got my MacBook Pro. I've got myself hooked into an Ethernet cable instead of just trying my Wi-Fi.
Yeah, good.
You know, I was behind the curve on that, Shane. You know, I really apologize because I was messing things up terribly, I know. And it was rather weird.
It's good to be able to actually see you for a change, you know, and be able to hear you. It's good. So, no, thanks. It's night and day difference. So, yeah.
And also, I got myself some Bose earphones with the microphone in it too. So, and they're Bluetooth, so I don't even have a cord on them.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. Cool.
He's moving on up. Good job, Steve. I like it.
So, well, Steve, got Aaron here as well from he's from Mexico as well, so it'd be a similar time zone maybe to you, I think. I could be
Aaron,
wrong.
Aaron, ¿cómo está ustedes?
Bien. Bien, gracias. Aquí,
el gusto es mío.
Gracias desde la ciudad más contaminada del mundo. The most polluted city in the world right now.
Mexico City. Ciudad.
What, really? It's most polluted? Right.
Yeah.
It's been tough.
We have a lot of cars, so it's a mess, you know. Very, very polluted.
I think there was a basketball? I think it was basketball games where the teams had to play in Mexico City, like an exhibition for the NBA. And that was one of the things they were very careful about, how much time in the car, infiltration system in the car, and then where they were in the transfers and stuff like that. It's just sad. That's a bummer, man.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I never really heard of that. I didn't realize it was that bad there. That's crazy.
Yes.
Don't feel bad, Aaron, because China is worse.
Yeah, I know.
Much worse.
Population, yeah.
And it's a shame, too, because I spent some vacation time in Riviera Maya.
Yeah, in Cancun.
Over by Akumbal and Chichen Itza, and it's beautiful there.
Yeah, so I think the main problem is here because, as I said, there's a lot of cars and... actually, the government is now we have a program which you can use your car for 2 days a week.
Ouch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch. Ooh.
What's the cause of the pollution? Is it more like industry, or is it just lots of vehicles? Or
how? Yeah, the vehicles, and also it's not... there's no wind or breeze, so it can wash out all that pollution. So that is also affecting.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, sorry to hear that. It's no good.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Thunderbird, 650 Thunderbird is in the chat. I just thought I'd say hi. Jean, or Jean, or Jean, wants me to play One from Metallica, which is obviously being a bit of a smartass, because that's just not going to happen. I can play Nothing Else Matters, that's about it, and I can play it really badly as well. So, yeah, well, we'll leave that one to you, David. You'd probably be able to play most of that stuff, yeah?
Not going to play anything to no one.
Oh, come on, man.
No.
Well, that's it. We should have a contest to see who the actual worst player is. I vote for me.
I win.
Oh, I'll win that one. I'll win that one, hands down.
So, yeah, what's... Oh, Nick's changed locations, it looks like. That's cool.
Yeah, I had a couple of network blips, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to plug in to Wired as well.
Yeah, no problems.
Hey, Shane, look what I received.
Hey, cool, man. Awesome. They made it, finally. How long did they... Jeez, they took a while.
It just got here yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So it took a good solid 2 weeks to get from you to me.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of the chicken pigs? Oh, you probably don't want to... Yeah, probably don't want to post your address online, man.
Well, too late. That ship has sailed.
Cool, cool.
If I start getting hate mail, I know who to blame.
What do you think of the chicken pig?
Well, I got to tell you, I like them all.
Yeah.
The chicken pig is thicker than the other two that you sent me. The other two aren't the like the pure or the hardened ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I think are like the next price wise level up from them. I have used some Dunlap Gators, which are also thick like this. Mm-hmm. I think one is 1.5 and the other is around 2. So the thickness of the chicken pick was okay. The thing that I noticed about it is that when you strum the chords, whether you're playing just single notes or you're playing chords, the sound comes off as quite bright.
Okay.
Very, very in the more trebly sounding range. I guess it's because you have a hard material, and I play I play in nickel strings. I don't play nickel plated steel.
Okay.
So it makes them ring a little bit, which is nice. The thing that I don't like is that if you pluck the string, and then if you're going to play another note on the same string, when you bring the pick back and touch the string, it rings a little bit against it. I guess because it's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But outside of that, I can't say that I disliked it at all. The one thing I wasn't sure about was how I was going to like the Devil Heart shape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a different brand, that one. I sent you that just to see what you thought, dude. I got a whole lot of those, so.
I like it.
Yeah, cool.
I like it. You can turn the pick to use the sharp edge, mm-hmm. and if you hold it this way, the edge sort of points to the back a little bit.
Yeah.
If you turn it around your hand and use it this way, the sharp edge sort of points forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other seems to, if you're playing single notes, it seems to be a little sharper, a little more staccato, a little brighter, a little more trebly. If you turn it around and use the second sharpest image, it's real easy to hold then because the little heart thing goes right to your finger and it's real easy to hold. I don't have like really rough fingers, so when things are smooth, I have a little bit of a hard time holding on to stuff, and this was easy to hold on to, and even if you turn it over to the side that's more rounded, which starts making the sound of the string sound a little more mid-rangey.
Yeah,
it was still easy to hold on to. I used the other one that you showed me too. This is I forget what they call this one, but it's got a very sharp sharp point on one end.
Yeah, it's also, something I've never seen. I hadn't seen anything like that one before, so I was like, oh, I wonder what might be worth sending you one of those as well, just to see what you think. So, cool.
I've seen picks that are this sharp, but I've never played with them. You know, mostly, I guess I have always just played, you know, the Dunlops that you can, you know, get, like, you know, get 1,000 of them for 50 cents, you know?
And then you lose them 25 minutes later. They just disappear.
Yeah, but when they're that cheap, you don't really care, you know? It's like, oh, yeah. God, well, I got a bag of them, you know, in my guitar case. Yeah. I was a little shocked to see the price on these guys.
Yeah, they're not cheap, but they're great. They don't wear out. That'll last you. I've been playing the same three that I got from Epo originally.
Uh-huh.
And all it looks is a little dirty. They just haven't worn out. They're really good.
Yeah. I noticed that when I use this on my my strings, my nickel strings, they're nickel wound, they're Fenders,
mm-hmm.
That the beveled edges start picking up a little bit of a dirty look to them. I don't know if that would be the same if you're using on steel or nickel-plated steel, but the pure nickel wound strings, they do dirty up a little bit. Not that that's a problem. It's just an observation.
Yeah, so this is the color of them, too. I think if they were black, you wouldn't notice it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Cool.
So anyhow, that's my take on them. Thank you for sending them.
Oh, that's all right. No problems at all.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, good stuff. No, I'm glad you're enjoying them. We've also got someone who's been probably the longest subscriber I've had on YouTube has just joined. So Hutch from BA, I don't know if I can see him there or not. No, he's walked off. Here he is. He's got some. He looks like he's got some beer. So I was just giving you a shout out, Hutch. I thought I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Soda. It's soda.
There he is. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for stopping in. I was just saying you've been one of the guys I remember from the early days of YouTube that have supported my channel, so thanks so much for that, man. And great to finally talk to you in person.
You're more than welcome. I love your playing.
Well, thanks, man. Cheers. So, sorry, I think I cut you off. What was that?
Hello, everybody.
How you doing, Hutch?
What's up?
So, where are you from, Hutch?
Oh.
Where are you from, Hutch?
New Jersey.
New Jersey?
Yes.
Tone King country.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I know him.
He's a good dude. Louis is a good guy. Yes.
Yeah, Louis is a great guy.
Well, Nick, you're from Jersey too, aren't you?
I'm just out of Boston. I actually grew up on Cape Cod, just south, and now I live 10 minutes out of town.
Okay.
But it's my dad's in Jersey, actually. He's in kind of down by Princeton. Oh, look at that.
Oh, my God. He's probably about a half an hour from me.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, he's Hillsborough County. Hillsborough Township is where he is.
Hillsborough, yeah.
Beautiful guitar.
Yeah.
Are they the Joe Barton pickups?
Yes, they are.
Yeah? What do you think?
I love them. Thanks for the advice.
Hey, no worries at all.
Michael Kelly.
It is, but it's heavily modified.
I love they make a very nice bass product. Like the necks, the bodies, everything, it feels awesome on them.
I love the neck.
Yep. Well, they roll the edge consistently. It has a nice rolled top edge that just feels not cheap. I don't know, something about they always do it. It's great.
I don't know much about Michael Kelly guitars. I've heard of them, but I've never come across one before.
They started in the States company. Everything's made in either Korea or Indonesia. I think BC Rich bought them a few years back. Nice guitars, $300-$600 new. They've got really lousy resale value. So if you hunt on eBay and wherever, you can pick them up super cheap. I think I have five of them right now.
Michael Kelly got back into it now.
Yeah. So Tracy Heff. Hoff, H-O-E-F-F, and his wife, he's the CEO, the president. Nice, super nice guy. I was chatting with him 2 weeks ago. And, yeah, they have a very small company feel. They care about their stuff. and then they've started working with guys like Lindy Fralin, Bare Knuckle, yep. to have selling those guitars with those as an optional pickup.
I bought this prior to the Lindy Fralins, otherwise I wouldn't have even changed the pups.
That neck pickup on the Fralin, the way it's got the metal edge too, it looks amazing. The way Fralin does a neck on a Tele. Yeah, Michael Kelly is actually the first company. They sent me out a Patriot Eclipse to actually do some demos and reviews for. Like, lent me that. It was one of the first people to do it for my channel, and it was so I was really I loved them. So it was an easy thing to reach out and say, hey, listen, I have 5 or 6 of your guitars. If you have your stuff, do you mind sending out something for us to do? Hey, let me go grab it. I'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah, cool, cool. So what do you think of the Joe Buttons? Do you miss the buzz?
Like I said, they didn't have the Fralin pickups. When I bought this guitar, Michael Kelly wasn't involved again yet in the company.
Yeah.
And the pickups were horrible. It wasn't about the buzz. They were just bad pickups, really bad pickups. Yeah, so I got the pickups changed to the Joe Bardens on your recommendation, and I also changed the tuners.
Oh, yeah, nice.
American-made Grovers in there. And they're really precise.
Yeah, beautiful.
Can you show the guitar a bit better?
I'll do the best I can, but I'm very limited here. I don't have a great camera or anything.
Which color is that? Much?
Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can get some backlighting too.
Yeah, you just need to move back a little, Hutch.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, but I gotta get it in focus.
Look at that. Yeah, nice. Yeah, very cool.
There you are.
This is like the black shadowed one.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's pretty.
Those Joe Barden rails. I like Duncan rails for a while, and a buddy of mine has a Joe Barden's and a pair of Strats and a pair of Tellys now. And those are just great pickups. And not a bad price either. They're not that expensive, all things considered.
Even the back is amazing.
That's
nice. Yeah, well.
It's really sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
The satin neck is what I fell in love with.
Yeah, you can fly on it, right? It's just a good feeling.
Yeah, just so nice.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful.
Awesome.
What color is that, Hutch? The name of
guitar?
The color?
It's called, it's not the caramel one. It's the,
it's a 1955, I can look that for.
It's the darker one, 53.
A 53, got it, gotcha.
53.
Cool. No, it looks beautiful, man. Good stuff.
Yeah,
really pretty, Hutch. Really
pretty. Have you got Hutch?
My favorite guitar is a Gibson. I have a Gibson with the Bake Maple fretboard.
Oh, those are nice. I like those. I like the feel of the Bake Maple more than some of the Rosewoods. It's smoother. It's
cool. Much smoother.
What about that guitar hanging on your door behind you, Hutch?
Oh, no, that's just the...
Oh, I'm just messing with you. Yeah, it looks like a...
You got me, because I know nobody's ever asked me about that.
You should just have fun at your expense, Hutch.
I just wish I could play like all of you guys. I didn't pick up a guitar until I was 60 years old, so...
All that matters is you have fun doing it.
I loved it.
Whenever I get frustrated... I played last Saturday with a buddy, Jam, that I had. I could rhythm it. I could not play a lead lick to save my life. I'm going to blame, like, cough medication and just being tired, but it was just horrendous. And I came home all disheartened, and then I cranked an amp and just hit a couple power chords, and I was happy. I'm like, all right. You still get the zing.
Because of the way, this is a very small room, but I'm going to try and give you an idea of a few amps I might have.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I seen Classic 50, right? Is that a Classic 50 PV?
No, actually, it's a PV, but it's a Delta Blues 115.
Yeah, oh, that's cool, nice. Man.
And I have a 10-inch Celestion 1030 also plugged into it, so both speakers play simultaneously.
Nice. So you got a big bottom and then a more crisp kind of punch.
Correct.
That's nice.
It seems to blend well.
That's sweet.
Those Delta Blues amps are one of the easiest amps to get just the sound out of plugging straight in. You know, they got a really great clean channel.
And I never had any problem with the reverb like you guys had.
Yeah, I think I must have had a bad batch of them or something, man. The first amp I had was fine, and then the last most recent one I bought, yeah, the most recent ones just I couldn't. Yeah, it was really frustrating.
Well, so,
yeah.
But I love Sorry. Playing.
That's what's fun, man. You got a Go few ahead, Hutch.
Sorry,
I'm
gonna cut you off, mate. Go for it. Go for it.
I'm gonna mute my mic and just listen to you guys for a while.
No, it's all right. I actually cut you off, so I didn't mean to. It's just that sometimes there's enough lag that it feels like you've stopped, and then it catches back up. So, apologies for cutting you off.
It's a long way to Australia.
yeah, that's it. So, yeah, anyway, yeah. I had a couple of Delta Blues amps, and the first one I had was great, and that's the one I sold for whatever reason, and I bought another one, and any time I had the reverb past 12 o'clock and had the amp loud, I'd get this loop, oscillation loop thing, which would just go like, whoop, like a feedback loop, basically. And, it was frustrating. So the techs at PV actually came and picked it up, took it back, and said, yeah, it's fixed 100%. Like, here you go, let's try it now. Did exactly the same thing. So this poor guy, this rep, went from my house to the tech maybe like, four or five times. In the end, they swapped it over, and the next one did exactly the same thing. I mean, I could have just turned the reverb down, and that fixes it, but the fact was I actually like a bit of reverb, as you probably know, and, it's just at a particular volume, it just used to go nuts, but, I don't know. That was the backstory there. But
I think everybody likes a little reverb.
You gotta love it.
I like a lot of it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They call it the talent control, some guys. If you don't use it, you're a great player. That's what they say.
Well, and there are a few amps that you can get away without it. You know, like I've got a Bugera BC30, so it's like a matchless AC30 clone, which is like a hot rodded Vox AC30. Something about the cleans on that, it's got such a warm, round clean that it doesn't need reverb, but it's one of the few amps that I'm not craving it if I can't have it, at least on the clean stuff. It's lovely.
Which amp is that?
It's a Bugera BC30. If you ever look at a matchless DC30...
Yeah, I know what it is.
$3,000, $3,500, $4,000 amp. They're huge money.
I just bought a V55 Infinium head.
Those are sweet, man. And the head, I like the head, because then I like one out of a 2x12 or
right,
you know.
Right, that's what I have on it.
Yep. I've had a couple, a musician's friend last year blew out a bunch of quasi A-stock, B-stock Bugeras at just silly prices.
Right.
But I think they came out of their depot and they just rammed tubes into them without testing the tubes, and huge amount of failure rate. Tons of returns. Musician's friend was great about the returns. No hassle. Here's a slip. And it became entertainment. I think I got the BC30, a 1990, and a 333 XL. I decided that I didn't need a two high 120 watt high gain amps. Like I just, it's not what I play. Yeah. And in my house, I get shot. I'll be divorced. So I sold one or traded one. I sent the other one back, but I kept that BC30 because it's just wondrous. I love that amp.
Cool. Yeah, I know musicians' friends well, but I like shopping at my local shops if I can.
Yeah, they're the key.
And it's good to be able to test stuff out, too, if you're not 100% certain. I'd never probably buy an amp online just because, I'm really fussy now. I'd have to play it. Guitars that I've tried that I haven't played in person, then I might order it online, but generally with amps, man, I couldn't risk that. I'd be just the hassle of returning it here would be a big pain too. So you're lucky in the States, man. You get better service than what we get here in general as well. There's all this return policy stuff, no questions asked, and we don't often get that. I remember I bought a Fender Twin from a guy, and he goes, "Don't return it if you think it's too heavy." That was what he said to me as I was walking out with it. So it's like, okay, so I guess I can't bring it back. So that's the level of service we get in Australia here on the most part. It sucks.
Well, when they sell you a amp that's that heavy, it should come along with a guy, like a gun bearer, like if you go on safari. You should have like an amp bearer or something or other. Have him carry it.
Yeah, that's it. So I just want to give a quick shout out to Gaz 101, who's in the he's watching on YouTube, and he's said hi in the chat, so I just wanted to say hi. Hey. I know he's always here, which is good. Appreciate that. So, and sorry, Nick.
650 T-Bird.
Yeah.
I'm just saying hey to one of your fellow Australians. Great, great dude.
Cool.
Yeah, the other thing with a twin is the disclaimer should be, and I accept that it will never break up. Because you can break a twin up if you are playing an amphitheater and you dime it, but it's a real, it's an amp that doesn't want to break up.
Yeah, that's it. They are, you know, I've had one of those, and I've had a Fender DeVille, and I don't know, man, I kind of felt like the Fender DeVille was the nicer sound. Like, the twins have this really hard-edged sort of sound that is great for certain types of music, I suppose, but they're just not pleasant up, they're not as pleasant up loud as some amps. I think they just, that, yeah, I don't know, they just shatter your teeth.
Well, a lot of the twin players eventually went to like JC120s from Roland, Solid State, buttery, smooth, big amps. I grew up, my grandfather played one of those. He had a twin originally, and then he moved to the JC, and also 100,000 pounds to lug
it's
around.
It's my dream amp.
I still own one. It's in storage because I don't have enough room for it. It's a beautiful amp, but they're still $600 US, $500-$600. Wow. Sometimes you find a beat up one. The distortion is hilarious, though. Like,
legendary.
Yeah, infamous. I think would be a good description of it. It's horrible, but the clean and everything. I think Yingwei used to play one when he ran his clean stuff through it, and even the pedal through his. They're cool amps, but it kind of cracks me up.
The only problem with my PV Delta Blues 115 is the weight.
Yeah,
a very heavy amp.
Yeah, I don't mind a heavy amp if I'm never gonna take it anywhere. Like, my BC30 stays here. It's just hard getting it here, and then it's gonna stay right where it is.
You gotta have an amp bearer.
I bred an amp bearer, but he's only three, so I have like five more years that I gotta get my job. Maybe six or seven.
And get a Sherpa or something, you know.
You know, yeah, he's funny.
What's that guitar you've got, Nick? You went to grab one before. I don't know if we... Oh, yeah, there it is. Cool.
That's a Michael Kelly Patriot Eclipse and a partial... Or Patriot Instinct and a partial Eclipse. And it's really kind of cool. If you look close, it's a really deep quilted maple top. Rockfield pickups. They're both coil-tapped. And if you flip it around, it's got a... Let me try and get a good picture of the car. It has a really nice contour cutaway, so to get up and jam through. It's really cool. Real mother of pearl, abalone inlay there. It's a real abalone center stripe, which is kind of, some people like it, some people think it's silly.
I actually think it looks like pretty cool. It's different, yeah.
It's different.
They've got a tasteful headstock shape. Nothing like super memorable, but it's not, some of them get kind of silly.
Yeah, it looks good.
Tuners, relatively good neck angle. Substantial, but she rips. Like, it's got a nice, the pickups, you can do a whole lot of different things with them. I brought it over, what's that?
Are those the pups it came with?
Yeah, these are the Rockfields it came with. And it's actually, they lent this to me, so I got to send it back in a few weeks. Cool little inlay, or touch detail kind of right there from their custom collection logo. And they also sell this, I think, with some bare knuckle mules in it for another couple $100 more. I think that's like $6.99 or something. This is $4.99 US. But it just, their necks always, everyone I pick up and play, the necks just feel just nice.
Yes.
I took it to my uncle's house, who has somewhere like 45 or 50 Gibsons from 1986 back. And he can shred. I'm going to put a video up. I got a little bit of video of him just playing this through some Van Halen stuff, then to some Spanish tinge jazzy stuff, then to a few other things. And he's like, it feels like it's got an 80s Gibson neck. You know, where it's fat in the right spots, but slim, and he said, this thing's just, it's like, really, $500? Wow. And he's kind of just going through it. I'm like, this is where now, I mean, I say it a lot, we're in the golden era, again, of musical instruments, where if for $5 you can get this, for $3 or $4 or $200, $150, you can get a Harley Benton, which is still playable. You know, you go jam in your garage with your buddies, still sounds great, you can do a lot. And even the used market's amazing. So it's just great. And
do they send you any other guitars as well?
They do. They do the Tele shape, like I forgot your name already, but like they do a Stratocaster ish shape.
Yeah, I just saw this on their web. Sorry, if I didn't ask the right question. The question I should have asked was, did they send you any other guitars as well at the moment? No. I saw your unboxing video on that one, but this one looks pretty nice.
I'm going to ask when I send this one back, and I want to do one of the 55, not the Fralin one, because for my channel I try and keep it like $500 US or under, just because it kind of is a hard line, not hard, but they have a regular one that the 55 regular one, which has their standard rock feels, but it's still a mini hum and then a full hum in the bridge. And that's, I think, the one I want to get in next. So they're acoustics, though. $300-$400 acoustics. They do some funky porting on the top. They're just kind of neat. They're a fun company.
They got a lifty. Yeah.
And that's in the, I think they've got one in the blue, and the blue is gorgeous. That's the same partial eclipse as this.
Yeah.
They even have a lefty newsletter they send out. They realize that you poor underattended lefties get the shaft.
Oh yeah, this is cool. Oh yeah, so you're talking about this one. This looks great, man. And it's funny to see like a Telecaster with the ashtray and a humbucker. Usually the humbucker would not be in the ashtray. So I wonder if that does anything tonally to it.
I'm not sure, but it looks right. And the some of those faded blue jean wash finishes, there's a used one in Reverb that has even more pictures of it. And they're just, it's cool. I like happy colored guitars. I mean, I love the classic ones, but like a bright, fun, and it's just kind of neat.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's very cool. Where are they based? Are they a US company, are they?
They're out of Florida, like Clearwater, Florida, I think.
Yeah,
sure.
Michael Kelly's a completely made up name. But they I think partially the CEO's name was Tracy as a guy. So I think that he maybe had some envy of a normal dude name to name the company off of, so it worked out well.
He didn't just go for Max Power, which was Homer Simpson's name he got from the hairdryer. Max Power guitars.
It's the truth. But really, I mean, as I say, I own a bunch. They do a like a Santana shape one, but my problem with a Santana shape, even a Les Paul double cutaway regular, is the distance from the end of the neck to the end of the guitar, because of where it joins, is very short, so it feels like a fiddle. Like, it's just small. And theirs is bigger, so when you put it next to a regular Les Paul, it looks like it's the right scale. It doesn't look tiny, it doesn't feel tiny. But it's still slim. It's slimmer, I think, even than this. So I've got a couple of those, and that's my, like, number one. And I have a lot of more expensive guitars, and that's still, like, the one I always go back to record or to play with or whatever. It'll always be that way, so... Which is cool.
Yeah, awesome. No, it looks like the business, man. That thing, I'm really impressed. Yeah, the unboxing video, when I saw it, I was like, man, that looks beautiful. So, good stuff.
I tried to pick the one that would have the most visual impact first. I was like, oh, it's another Cherry Sunburst Les Paul copy. You know, like, it's something different, you know?
Yeah. I really like that that Blue Jean double humbucker telly, man. That's
it's pretty.
That's something else, yeah. If they make a lefty in that, I might order one.
they're good, and the part of their thing is and I don't know, is the BC Rich thing, or they sold direct and they didn't sell direct and now they're direct again. Like, they just don't get out in front of a lot of people. Nobody knows about them, and I think if you're the UK, they're doing a big push. I think they now have a couple dozen shops or a dozen shops across the British Isles, as they're slowly trying to get the word out more, but. They're one of my little favorite gems on the market. And like I say, if you look for them used, you can just thieve them. My double cutaway was $170. I've gotten they've got a semi-hollow, dished out back, kind of looks like give a Les Paul shape, but a little bigger with F-holes. I've got one of those for like $170, something like that, where you're like, and they're great, fun guitars for under $200.
How would you compare the... sorry, go, David.
Nick.
What's up?
Hi, Dave.
You there?
I can hear you. Is there anybody out there?
Thank you. Whenever you feel tired of that guitar, just give me a ring, okay?
He can send it to you. You got it.
170, you said.
Not this one, but yeah, my other one. I'll show it to you. I'll show you the 170s. Hold on.
All right, if something gets sold, I want a commission, all right? That's what eBay did.
You get a 10% finder's fee.
yeah, that's it. Oh, they look like pretty nice guitars for their price. I mean, like...
My Michael Kelly was... I bought it brand new, shipping, you know, the whole nine yards. Bottom line, cost me $295. Cost me almost that much more for the pickups, but...
yeah, the... Yeah, you're right.
No, Bartons are not cheap.
Nah, that's it. They've. Oh, here we go. It's another one.
So that.
Give us this a, was one give of the. Here you go.
Very nice.
Abalone inlays, same headstock. Grovers, Tone Pros, locking bridge.
Pretty sweet, man.
Coil tap. And then.
I reckon those Tone Pro bridges feel awesome. They sound good. Oh, here we go. He's got another one.
For those.
Another one. He has more than 40.
Yeah, don't encourage him. He'll never stop.
I think he's going to be in the new Gas documentary I'm doing.
Yeah, probably.
So the same Tone King.
Well, perhaps same deal.
It looks a little like the Ibanez, I think, have a guitar very similar to that in terms of, look, it's kind of that middle ground of So Ibanez? Oh, maybe not.
Hamer does one, but like I say, it's a little smaller body. This has got about a half an inch on each side and about a full inch this way. So it just makes it feel right.
And you know what? It won't have the problem that the SG has, you know, like... The
car won't die.
Yeah, these always just want to fall neck.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, this one's not too bad, but yeah, generally they'll fall towards the neck. That looks great, man.
It's cool. Dead.
Yeah, oh, nice. Balance. Don't drop it.
No.
Oh, Nick, show me the Eclipse again.
Oh, hold on, let me put this one down.
If you want to get somebody as gas, you really have to talk to Lewis, the Tone King.
Yeah.
He has like 149 guitars.
My God. Oh,
I believe Christ. He must. Just because if you look at his amp stack, he's got about 50 amps or maybe 30 amps in view, but they're not like, they're not PV Vipers. There are some serious amps that he's got sitting there.
Actually, he's probably got a Viper too.
He does, no, and that's great. He doesn't discriminate. You go through and there'll be a Soldano, and on top of it's a crate. You know, like it's a...
He really is he's not just a guitarist, he's a real collector.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful guitar, dude.
It's different.
Can you put here? Thank you.
Yeah.
Man, it's a beautiful guitar.
They did this same one in a blue, so that the tan's the same, but it goes through like a very bright, bright blue, like Bermuda water blue, and then gets to a dark blue at the bottom. They didn't have any in stock.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's a keeper. Oh,
170, you said, yes?
No, this was 500.
Oh. U.S.
Yep, and it's on loan. I have to send this one back.
Which, no!
I know. But it's good, though, because had they had the blue one and sent it to me and it was as nice as this one, it would never go back. It would just be like, okay, what am I going to do? Let's just let this one stay here. This one I think I can send back. We'll see.
So good pickups, decent pickups in them as well, you think? Yeah.
They remind me a lot of Dean has some DMT pickups in their newer Cadillacs too. And they both, I like them because they're full, but they're not like full like a 57 Classic Gibson that has a huge bottom end.
Yeah.
They're
yeah,
more good. Balanced kind of all the way through. So
yeah, that's what I like with Gibson.
You can tune your amp a lot better on them. Mm-hmm. The 57s, I like them, but they blow up all my amp settings compared to like a normal humbucker equipped guitar. It's just, it sounds too big. You got to really dial everything back down. So,
do you find that true on any amp?
Let me think about that. Not as much on Fender amps. So Fender style, if it's an amp that's normally of your 6V6, 6L6, it seems to be better. But if it's an EL3484 amp, I have to bring everything back. It's just so big. Or I think the Fender amps don't have as much bottom to them. Or at least the ones I have or played.
Right. Which,
I play out of a little Blackface clone, and then I play out of a lot of my buddy's Princeton Reverb a lot. And those,
yeah, are, but those amps don't have what you'd consider a big round sound. You want the 6L6 Fender amps. They're the ones that have all the low end.
Those are small. Big.
Yeah.
Yesterday I played out of a Fender Super 6, which is like, it's,
oh, they're awesome. Yeah, yeah, I've used
it. It's a 6x10, 66 or 80 watts, something like that.
Yeah.
Luscious reverb. And it's just a wall of sound. So it's just amazing. Amazing amp.
You could probably lean against that wall.
Yeah.
I call them the fridge, those amps. Sorry, go ahead.
Nick, is that amp colored blue?
It's a silver face. Looks just like all the other 70s silver face. It's just the size. It's funny because he has it in his room next to a Marshall Silver Jubilee full stack. Yeah, there you go. It's big.
When you played it, did you have to use these?
Yeah, I know, right? I should have. I didn't, but I should have. But we went from that.
Earplugs, is it?
Yeah. And yeah. The wheels didn't come stock, I don't think, which is funny. And
I've seen that.
Yeah, there you go. I've got a Super Reverb, and this thing is another, it's a third larger, basically, so it is an absolute beast.
It's a little known fact, too, that amp comes with a Sherpa.
Yeah. That amp comes with one of those back strap things that you got to put around your waist before you hand for Kyle.
You got to get a rigging crew to move it for you.
You know what's funny? These amps are always on eBay. There's always like, now that I've said that, there's probably...
Local pickup only. Show up with a truck. It's they don't have a good resale value because they're too big. And what's funny, it's the same basic chassis, I think, as the Quad Reverb and maybe yours as well. And so people buy them and part them out, they turn them into heads, they do other stuff. He got his for about $450, but he took it to a guy and had it redone. He's probably into it now for $1,500. 3 weeks later, a second one showed up at my local guitar center used, $450 again, and I stared at that for a long, long time before I left. And I knew, I'm just was fighting with my wife in my head.
Well, you lose your money on it because the Sherpa gets old and dies, and there goes your investment.
Yeah, well, for me, I have a limited amount of gear space. I have my little corner where I do my videos, and I have a couple little nooks and crannies I can hide stuff, but we don't have a basement, so it really limits expansion abilities. And so with that, it's like, do I want to give up having seven other things to put that somewhere, or do I want to, what am I going to do with the space? So, but sounds so good. Just
I
amazing.
I would like to ask a question. Are there any specific websites anybody would recommend on how to do YouTube videos properly? I don't know how to get good sound into my computer.
I did a tutorial video at some point, but I'm not sure if it's probably not great to watch that one now. I might end up doing another one of them at some point, but... You need sort of two things. You need the sound of your the most important thing is getting the audio of the miking up your amp and having it to record to your computer. So you'll need to get like a sound interface of some like an audio interface for your computer. So
I have Presonus.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So you'll need to be able to. Sorry, Hutch. Go ahead.
And I have also the Presonus DAW. And I have good mics. I have a Shure SM58 and a SM57. I just don't know how to accomplish the mission, where to place the mics, where to do I have to turn down the volume on the amp in order to pick it up correctly, or I just doesn't. Whatever I do, I can't seem to get good sound. I can get good video, I can't get good sound.
I think the trick is to never mic an amp up. If you're only using one microphone, don't put the mic right in the center of the speaker. Always have it off to one side. I tend to mic up towards the outer third of the. So if that's the speaker, I'm miking up about here. Right. I never mic up right in the center. Otherwise, it's going to sound too sizzly and weird. And sometimes when you record, you have to adjust your settings. Like when I use this on my demos, I have the bright switch on, but when I play live, I have it off. It seems to sound better with the bright switch on. So what I tend to do is it's trial and error. You just got to try one way, see how it sounds, and if you don't like it, try mixing. Best thing to do, put the microphones right up against the grill, right in the center, play a chord or two chords, move it a couple of inches to one side, do the same thing, move it back, do the same thing, move it around, and just make notes of where you've moved it to, and pick the one that you like the best, and just, draw a circle on the floor and leave your mic stand there, because that's the best way. I think, to me, this is what I always say when I'm recording bands or whatever. The sound of the amp has to be good in the room that you're recording in. So if you're hearing it from where you're sitting and you go, oh, I don't really like the sound of that, it's not going to sound any good recorded. It has to sound good to your ear before you even put a microphone there. So you don't have to be on the ground with the speaker in your ear either. Just what I tend to do is just approximate a good tone in the room. Some rooms I've recorded in are horrible too. So it might mean you have to put, lounge rooms are normally good to recording because the your couch or sofa or whatever tends to absorb a bit of the audio and you get less reflections, all that kind of stuff. So, I try a whole lot of different microphone placements and find the one that works best for the sound that you've got. If you like the sound of your amp before you put the mic in front of it, it's going to sound a lot better. That's the first thing to do.
One more thing too, if you're not used to recording just audio in general. Your Presonus might have a clip, a red light for clipping, and then a green light for signal. They all have different things. You don't. What you do is play as loud as you normally do, and turn the volume all the way up till it clips. So because you're gonna have an input boost kind of a volume there.
Yes.
Play it till it clips, and then roll it back down just so it stops clipping and doing that. Because what happens is once you go to clip, it's like you've got these waveforms and they're hitting a ceiling and it's cutting off whole layers of what the audio is. So by getting the clipping down, now you're not cutting any of the music, so you hear the full breadth and spectrum. If it's too quiet, though, you record this little tiny channel, and you got to boost it, and it doesn't always sound as good. So I go all the way up to the clip, and then I roll it back till I don't get any clipping for what I'm going to play, and then record that. And you may find it took me forever to do that. I had a lot of stuff that I recorded super, super quiet because I didn't know what pad did. And there's a pad button that you can try that on and off to and I don't even know what it does still. I should probably read a manual. But
yeah,
it basically brings the floor up to a certain point of how much it's boosting or not. But if you understanding what a clipping is helps, I think, a lot, because you get a lot of ones where you're like, I recorded a clean tone, but when I play it back, it sounds distorted. And that really is just clipping.
The best recording I ever got was using a Sennheiser E609.
Yeah, nice.
And it was offset to the it was hanging directly over the speaker, but it was offset from the center.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. That's a great way of doing it. I really think like the microphone placement is the key, and also just getting the right tone. And as Nick said too, you never want your signal clipping. So if you can monitor how loud the input level is on your device, or even put headphones on and have a listen. If it sounds like it's distorting, you've just got to turn the trim knob down or the gain knob on the channel. So that's every time I... Sorry, go ahead.
I was definitely clipping then because I brought it up to the point where every now and then it would hit the red area. It's a line and it goes from green to yellow to red. And I brought it up to the point where every now and then it would hit the red.
Yeah, that's where it gets nasty. So what I do, I never get it into the yellow. And then I in my program I'll adjust, because it gets pretty technical, but I record in 24-bit, which is like twice, basically a way higher resolution than CDs, for example, which is 16. So I can then afford to bring up the gain on the channel once it's on my computer rather than trying to get the balance of it right, and you don't get any extra noise doing it because 24-bit is it's pretty dead silent when you you're adjusting it on your computer. You can you can bounce it down in, or you can bring it up in terms of gain, and you're not going to lose anything. So yeah, just record at a safe level and you just keep it in the yellow, in the safe area of the yellow, and that should be fine. And that should be, you know, if you're clipping at zero, which means you're going to get like distortion, anywhere between minus 4 and minus 6 should be a great safe zone for general recording. We just had a question from Scott White in the chat room, so I thought I'd throw this out to you guys, and you can take it in turns if for those who want to answer. So he asks, what are our thoughts on open versus closed back cabinets? So Aaron, have you, well, might throw this to you, mate. So have you had a chance to compare open and closed back cabs?
Yeah, actually have. I had to solve my, I got one of these,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
These are little great amps, you know. And, I bought the 212 matching cab, and actually I tried with the back cover and the without, and I really like the without the cover.
Yep.
It gets me lots of low end, you know. Mm. And well, that's my experience of that.
Okay, great, cool. What about you, David?
Well,
you're getting a bit of a hardcore goatee going on, by the way, mate. It's starting to look like you're out of the 300 movie.
Oh, the goatee.
Yeah.
Wait till it comes to here. Well, let me see. Open back versus closed back. Good question. I don't have a favorite, actually.
Okay, cool. No worries.
I don't. Open back disperses more of the sound. The closed back punches more, I think.
Yeah.
At least that's what I notice. Really depends on what I'm doing.
Yeah, cool. All right, what about you, Hutch? You want to add some thoughts?
I agree with what he just said. I have one cabinet that's just a cab, and it has a Jensen 12-inch Lightning, and it's a custom-made cab, and that's ported. It's okay. A closed back, but it's a ported cab, and it's made of pine, solid, yeah. And it seems to be really nice. But I use open backs and closed backs as well as that ported one, and I think it just depends on the speaker.
Yeah. Okay, cool. You're starting to break up a little bit in terms of audio. It sounds like you've got a digital overtone. I'm not too sure if I'm the only one hearing that, but you might be a little bit far away from the mic, maybe. Try that.
Is that better?
Nah, it's still there. That's all right. We can work with it.
Can understand it.
Yeah. It's just, you sound half human, half robot now.
Heart cyborg.
That's me.
All right, Nick, I'll put you on the chopping block next, mate. What do you think?
I like, if I'm going to play at home for, like, living room tones, I like an open back cab. And if I'm going to play with other people, I find that it's more present and I blend better, or especially if there's a drummer or a bass player, and I like a closed back. I've only just recently discovered that, and it might just be the kit that I use in those two environments. But I think in my room I want it to feel warm because it's the only thing I'm hearing, you know. But when I have a bass player and when there's something else going, it's nice to get that spot that it wants to sit for what I like.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, good stuff. All right, Steve, I don't know if you've had too much experience with all of this nerdery, but what are your thoughts?
That's okay. You saved the best for last, right? No, in my very limited experience on this, and I have to say that, limited experience, it seems to me that the closed back speakers do have a little more punch. It seems like they project outwards a tiny bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And open back, as was said before too, sort of lets the sound around the amplifier a little more than a closed back. And I'm not sure if the open back amplifiers don't have a little more mid-range sound to it because of that. You know, it does let the sound out the back, and it does tend to bounce around where the closed backs just punch the sound out pretty much straight out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't think one's better than the other. I guess like Nick was saying, you sort of have to choose your venue as to which one might serve you better and that kind of thing. But I can't say I like one better more than the other, but they're just different.
Cool. Oh, great.
May I say something?
Yeah.
May I say something? Closeback seem to work pretty damn well with distortion or gain. And open backs, especially if they have twin speakers, like 2x12 or 2x10, and you're using stereo effects, they seem to work better because the sound disperses a bit more.
Yeah.
At least what I find.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It's what I find. I mean, closeback. Yeah. I have the feeling, like all the other gentlemen were saying, I have the feeling that the closed back projects the sound more. And for that reason, I think it's more indicated to use with drive or a high gain stuff, while mm-hmm. the open back is probably better used to with effects, on a clean channel with effects.
Yeah. My thoughts on it would be, if you're playing a single 12, open back all day for me. I think the closed back sounds a little too boxy in some. I've owned an Egnator which had a closed back, and it sounded great in the shop, but live it just didn't have that spread that the single 12 open back sort of combos had. And that's just, you know, from my experience with that one particular type. 212 amps could go either way, or 212 cabs. I've heard some great orange, believe it or not, orange cabs that sounded great with like a Marshall head, and they were closed back, and I was really surprised. But yeah, there's something about the you get like this loose bottom end with the Fender amps, like that's an open back, and while it might not sound as loud at the front, it kind of does. It fills out the space around you a little nicer in some ways. Yeah. Well, it's all personal preference. Like, I've just, because I'm a huge Fender amp fan, and I like, you know, obviously the PV, and I've had 50 amps, but nearly all of them have been closed, open back, sorry. So that's just my personal preference. But if you're playing a 412 and it's big, you can't go past the closed back cabs, man. I reckon for a 412 amp, man, I've never heard an open back one sound as good as a cranked boogie or whatever in that situation. That those tones, closed back cabs will generally sound. It'll yeah, suit that heavy
in your face.
I used to work with a guy who swore by. He would mic the back of a closed back cab, an open back cab too. So he'd do the two mics out front with a third mic in behind, because it just get this whole different warmth that he could then blend in. And it was his like special sauce when he was recording bands.
A lot of people will throw that mic out of phase, so it sort of makes sense in the mix. And yeah, it can work if you're in the right room. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've even heard some drummers talk about how hard it is sometimes to be on stage with a guy with an open back amplifier, and it seems like he's getting a whole lot of volume that from behind the amp that he doesn't get when a guy has a closed back one that just pushes everything out.
Oh, that would have to be true. Yeah, I know a couple of drummers that whinge anytime you bring out an open back cab and it's loud. it's all, you know, hitting them from the back. So there is something nice about the open back cabs, how they do have that sort of extra low end that you feel in close proximity to it. I definitely like that.
Do you think that it might be, as a general rule, you know, without being terribly specific, that open back cabinets might be better served for guys who are trying to chase a warmer or maybe bluesier sound, as opposed to, you know, something like really sharp staccato and then you want to blast it right out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I really don't think you'd find too many blues guys playing closed back cabinets. Not, I mean, unless they're playing a 412 Marshall or something. I don't know any. I don't know any guys that even the blues guys that play the boogies, like the Mesa boogies and the whatever. They most of their amps are open back as well, or they you know got a section of it cut out and stuff. So yeah, I think you could be right. It could just be a musical sort of genre preference more than anything else. You know, if you're playing classic heavy rock, then you'd be going for a closed back. On the most part, you probably wouldn't buy a Fender Super Reverb if you were going to play, you know, heavy music. You'd go get that, you know, you go get the boogie that has, odds are it's going to have closed back. Even their combos have a lot of boogie cabinets. Even their smaller ones have closed back now too. So,
I think mine's an open. I've got an open back one with it. I think it's got one black shadow in it. I've got the single Rectoverb 50, which is a fun little lamp.
Cool.
But it's more Fender leaning, you know. They all are, but that one particularly.
Yeah. Have you done a video of your collection, Nick, or
of the amps now? I try to stick to the guitars. The amps, I now think I have a good enough rig where I could do that side of it. But I didn't want to. I wanted to make sure I could do them justice when I got to the point of doing those. So.
Yeah.
I'm down to 6 amps now. I think maybe allegedly. Something like that.
Yeah, I don't have the space for lots of gear here anymore, so I've literally got three amps and one's in the car. my blue deluxe is living in there at the moment. So yeah, it's cool.
The question, Shane.
Oh, sorry, David.
Zach Plyer has a question.
Yeah. Go for it.
What the favorite? Wondering if we have a favorite cable or cable brand.
Yeah.
I just basically like cables that have Nutrik connectors. That's my way to go. I had a chance to test out some Covenant cables, which were great, and they weren't expensive. And I don't believe in spending $100 on a guitar lead. I just think that's unnecessary and I highly doubt it's going to sound any better than a quality one that's, you know, in the, I say mid-priced, maybe between, depends where you live, but between like 20, 15, depends on where you live, of course, but 15 to 40 bucks would be more than enough to spend on a guitar cable.
Well, what does everybody use? In our distinguished panel of experts here, what does everybody use?
Yeah, like I said, the main one that I've got right now, that I've had for years and years and years, I bought these. I don't even know what brand label these cables are, but they've got really good connectors, and I think that's the most important thing. That, obviously, and a lead that you can tap when it's on and you're not going to hear anything. But, I think any of those cables that do that are going to be fine. I'm not really a brand snob when it comes to leads. I've never really been that way. I've spent hundreds of dollars on a couple of mic leads once, and it was the biggest mistake I made. I can't hear any difference, even with studio monitors. So the only upside to them, like, there's some stuff like George L's cables. They'll last you a long time. I think that's maybe the difference between way more expensive cables and good or great ones, is maybe they could last longer, but maybe they won't. So who knows?
Nick, what do you think?
I haven't even unpacked it. The Fender like coil ones, just because get tangled. Those are cool. I just bought one because I played over a friend's house and I was like, I kind of like this. I don't know, and I think it's purely psychological, but it's a cool thing. The rest of my cables, I think, are either Planet Waves makes just a Planet nice Waves. Standard, good quality cable. But I still have a couple cheapish. I have no name. They probably were $10 on checkout, and I grabbed two just for the hell of it, and they're fine. But the problem is they just don't, like Shane said, they don't last as long. And you'll have it and starts crackling or something funky, and then it just gets binned, and another one shows up at some point. But the Planet Waves ones have served me well, and I'm intrigued by this Fender one just because it's different.
Hutch, what do you think?
I'll be back. I got a kid.
I have the Mangami I think it's pronounced Mangami. And I agree with Shane, it's all about the connectors. Yeah. Oxygen free is fine, but if you've got good connection, it makes a big difference. This is like a Nutrix connector on a different cable. And I stick right around. I use short cables. My cable's only 12 feet. So being that I'm using short cables, I can afford to buy a little better cable. So I spend about $20.
How about you, Dave? You got a dog in this fight. Go ahead.
In my experience, the worst kind of cable that I ever played with were Fender cables.
Really?
Yeah, where's Nick? Nick is gone. I wanted to tell him this.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Nick, get away from Fender cables, man. You don't know what you're doing.
I don't. I like the one I played. I bought one on pure like spontaneity.
Well, Dave, what's your preference?
I don't have a preference, actually. I'm just like Shane. I wouldn't pay top dollar for cables, leads, and patch mm-hmm. cables. I would never right. pay any top dollar for those. I'm actually using at this moment the most cheap ones that you can possibly get, which are the STAG cables. You know the brand STAG, STAG.
I'm not familiar with them.
They cost like
inexpensive stuff.
Yeah, inexpensive. Yeah, they cost like €2.
Those Aaron, are the ones what do you I'm think? Using.
I've actually got a couple of those STAGs. They're great. They're actually really good. Sorry, Aaron. Go.
They're better than the Fender.
Well, actually, I use the generic ones. So, I don't have a preference. You know, I always see those guys that spend like hundreds of dollars like in cables, but I don't have a preference. You know, Eric Johnson. I think mm-hmm. he's always very picky about that because he's always actually he says that the back cover of the Defender with and without makes a different sound.
Yeah.
Eric is very particular about his tone. Very.
Actually, I think he uses he says that the Duracell batteries.
Duracell, yes.
Makes a difference in his sound. I don't know.
You know what I've heard? No, that's true. I've heard that pedal designers don't make pedals with alkaline batteries in mind. They use heavy-duty batteries.
Yeah.
So there might be something to that. I've heard that from a few guys. Yeah, they go, don't... Especially wah pedals. What's that company's name? My friend Rick's got a wah pedal that's really expensive. And, is our audio glitching?
Yeah.
Is anyone else?
We just had a little bit of something. Just for a minute.
Okay. That's weird. Sorry for everyone watching there. I could just hear myself going all funny then. I think we've caught Hutch's electronic issue. No, I hear that they make these pedals based on Duracell batteries. So not on Duracell, on heavy-duty batteries, sorry, I should say. So, yeah, not the alkaline type. So it might be a good test. Might do a YouTube video on that at some point.
Are you sure?
I know for myself, I, again, have rather limited experience with, you know, a lot of the equipment into things, but I managed to pick up a Fender Custom Shop Tweed cable, which sounds pretty nice. But I think Shane probably touched on it, you know, right off the bat when he said the connector end is probably the most important part of the whole thing, and I was also led to believe that gold connectors are better than whatever else there is.
No, they're not. And that's the thing. People will tell you they're better, but this is why they're not better, because if you're plugging a gold connector into a non-gold jack, you're back to where you started sort of thing. So, yeah, that's one thing that they might not tarnish as easily or whatever, but, look, audio-wise, I think that's a bit of a... You know, it's like painting a number 9 on your car. Does it go faster? You know, like, or whatever. So yeah.
100,000 years ago, I worked in a Sears Roebuck store, and I sold, like, Monster cables just came out, 94, 95, I was in college, and you'd be like, these are awesome, and go, they made no difference, and it was $85 for a set of AV cables versus the $9 ones off the rack, and you'd be hard-pressed to tell the difference in any of those situations, and you see the same thing in guitar cables. I've seen the scam enough times now that you see them come out, and you're like, no. No.
Yeah, it's like HDMI cables for DVD players or Blu-rays, whatever. You know, the signal that it sends is digital. It's all ones and zeros, which it isn't in guitars, by the way. But you see some people trying to charge $150 for this HDMI cable that, because the signal's digital, a $9 or $5 one or whatever will do exactly the same thing with no loss. It's just about...
Either it's going to work or it's not going to work. There's no in between. There's no better or worse.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to work or not work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, on cables too, guys, I think one of the things that also you might want to think about is when you plug a cable in and it's standing upright, you know, it comes up a little bit and then it bends over. Well, obviously, right where that bend is going to be the area of greatest stress on it. The one thing that I did notice about this custom shop cable that I got from Fender is that it wraps a little tighter, a little further up the away from the connector. So it can't bend over until it gets a little further away. I'm not sure if that's going to make any difference, that it will probably last a little bit longer because it'll have a little less stress area on there. It's my experiment, and hey, maybe we could do a video on it.
Okay, there you go. Cool.
Good idea.
I just had a guy in the chat ask about joining the live stream, so I thought I'd just take a sec to let everyone know. So the last time we did this, we were inundated with spam bots and morons and all that kind of stuff. So I've been emailing out the links to an email list, which I don't show everybody's email on as well. So if you want to be on the list, if you'd like notifications of joining, all that kind of stuff, email me in the blues. @outlook.com. I'll type that into the thing here, and I'll be able to put you on that list, and we can send you out an email. Also, let me know your YouTube user ID as well. I need to know that so I know who's joining. So, yeah, sorry, guys. I just thought I'd make the point of that because, last thing I'd want to do is have someone who's a spammer get on that list and then it's game over again. So
yeah, and you don't want to see that stuff again. It was a lot of cool. It was stuff.
It's the stuff that you can't delete from your mind for at least a year.
I was trying to explain it to my wife, and then she's like, "No, I'm like, no, I'm not going to try and find it to show you what we were seeing." You know?
The horror.
You know, I had a few people that were in the stream watching on YouTube say, "Oh, how come that you didn't leave it on YouTube?" I'm like, "Man, it like breaks all the terms of service agreements you have. Like, I can't have that stuff on there. It's not my fault either."
This is the grossest sexual nature stuff. And then you just had like beheadings and head to like deathy stuff, and then just horrible language and everything else. It was something.
There's another question on the chat. The opinion on bus pedals.
Who wants to go first? Do you want me to go first, or does someone else want to take it?
I've only got one bus pedal, so I don't know if that makes me qualified.
That's fine. Go for it, Steve.
Well, you and I did have a sort of little bit of a discussion. I was sort of enamored with the Blues Driver BD2.
Yep.
I did pick it up. It did accomplish the one thing that I was trying to do, which is get some breakup sound at a little lower volume than I would have had to drive my Blues Junior. I like the sound it produces. You know, I don't look for a heavy distortion or anything along those lines. So, you know, I want it to sound like you know, an older Fender amp, just cranking a little bit, you know, and just, you know, just getting just a hair worth of growl on it. And that it did that for me. I have the feeling that I've let the genie out of the bag, though, and I'll probably be buying more in the future.
Yeah.
So, But there it is for that.
I think pedals come with, like, you know, like methamphetamines on the on them or something. You know, once you buy one, you're stuck with them for life, man. It's crazy. But I reckon Boss pedals are great. Like, I have no problems with Boss pedals. I'm not really a brand snob when it comes to stuff. Up to a point, like, Boss pedals for me are fine. I've had plenty over the years. I think they're reliable, and they're really, what's the word? Just, you know, what they make is, they innovate as well. They're like, they've actually innovated some stuff, which other companies don't. And yeah, I don't dislike them. I've got a few of them. I use their delay pedal. Mostly I've had a couple of their overdrives. I think they do a good job at being very safe in terms of, you know, what they bring out. Nothing too mind-blowing a lot of the time. They do have those loop stations and stuff as well, but for me, like, yeah, they're maybe not the most exciting pedal out there when you look at all this, you know, the paint jobs on some of the others, but they sound great. They sound just as good, in my opinion, so that's my two cents. I know David might have different thoughts on the matter, so...
Completely different, man.
Yeah, it's good. That's what it's all about.
He's a contrarian.
I am. No, yeah, I really don't. I don't like Boss pedals at all. Not really. I enjoyed their reverbs. I enjoyed their delays. They have some twin pedals that I find quite interesting. The Space Echo and the Rotary. Very fine pedals. But their modulations, I mean, the chorus, I don't like their chorus. It's a very shy chorus. I like chorus that, you know, brings some brightness, some motion, and their choruses are very shy. I don't like their flanges. I despise their flanges, to be honest. I don't like their phases.
I don't like you either, man.
They don't like me. And I really do not like their distortion units.
Okay.
I don't know, I just can't stand them. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're fun. So I have a Blues Driver BD2 that I love. And it's one of those pedals that I sold, and then, you know, down the road I picked up another one because I kind of missed that. And it's an open, it's an airy kind of overdrive. It's nice. Yeah. I picked up a DS1 pedal just because it was $20, and I was like, oh, and I was taken back to like a dozen songs from the 80s that it's just the perfect pedal for it. It's just, it does Billy Idol-ish, you know, Steve Stevens guitar.
Yep.
It does those things, and it's unapologetic about that's what it does. And you get a great pedal
to boost.
What's that?
It's a great pedal to boost.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun. Those two, and then the RV3, which is the reverb delay,
yeah,
that's a sick little pedal. And that's about it. Like, I haven't gone down completely all over. I discovered TC Electronic somewhere along the way, and I just love their stuff. I think that they're amazing. So they've become my, like, mom.
Have you got one of their delays at the moment?
The Boss or the
TC Electronics, sorry?
I don't have their delay, no. I've got their, like, Mojo Mojo and Dark Matter and a bunch of their pedals, but I don't have a delay. No, I do. I have a flashback delay. I have the normal size flashback.
Here's a test for you with that, right? They sound fantastic. Try listening to your clean tone with that pedal in your chain and then take it out and have a listen and only listen to the top end and see if it rolls it out.
Is it sucks it up?
A little bit, yeah. Rick had one, and we were doing all these tests between pedals, and all of a sudden I'm like, I don't think your high end's there anymore. And it was. So I don't know if he just got a dud or whether or not...
No, that explains a whole lot. So, and yeah. I have like 16 pedals in my big board. I actually haven't played out of my big board in 7 months because I want to buy a loop station for it and then do it the right way.
Cool.
But I am missing top end on it, and it was a recent... The flashback was one of the last pedals on it, which is why I haven't played it. So it's just sitting there doing nothing. That could be causing some of the lack of joy there.
Yeah, they definitely suck the top end out. It's much like some wah pedals can too. So, yep. Yeah. I mean, they sound fantastic. I love the sound of them. It was just funny to find that out. And whether or not it's just as simple as walking to the amp and turning up the top end.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit there. And I play oftentimes with either a Klon or a Soul Food in there. And they tend to, especially Soul Food, adds a little bit of top end to it. So I think that fight, it might end in a draw. Cool. But if you like the Blues Driver 2, though, Donner has a pedal called the Blues something. It's a mini pedal, little one of those guys. And it's basically a Keeley modded BD2.
I've got one of them, I think.
Yeah. The little blue guy, they're like $25, something like that. It's awesome. Like my buddy Hunter on Agu Fish is a great channel. He did a review of it, and he's a metal. All of his stuff's really like on a hard rock, metal, new rock, modern rock, something. But that pedal, he got tones that I wasn't expecting to come out of it, and still all the Blues Driver tones. And I was like, ah, son of a bitch. Like, just take my money.
I think I've seen that video, actually. I have a feeling I might have seen that. Yeah, because does he start with an already really dirty tone at the start of the video?
Yeah, he always starts. And he's usually playing like a Les Paul Custom or a Gunny SP or a few other things. He plays a lot of different playing tones, and then he does his talk somewhere 4 minutes in, something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good pedal, though. I just got it and was playing with it at work. I wanted a work distortion pedal that I could get a lot of range out of for having just one or two pedals there, and I think that's going to do it pretty well.
You want a good pedal? A good distortion pedal?
Yep.
Try the MXR Super Badass Distortion.
There is one for sale used at Guitar Center down the street from me.
Pick it up.
I will do so then. On that recommendation alone, in the $63 or $65 that they want for it, I'll take a flyer.
Pick it up. You're gonna love it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
The only thing I can tell you about it is this. In their site, in the MXR site, they say it's a pedal that is able to give you modern metal sounds. It does not give you modern metal sounds.
Well,
okay, no matter how much they publicize it, it doesn't.
My hands don't give me modern metal sounds either.
What it does well, it does extremely well, is the range on its gain can go from very clean to a kind of very slight overdrive to crunch to high gain distortion. And it does it really, really well. And the EQ, those pedals have a 3-band EQ. They work extremely, extremely well.
Cool.
The only thing it doesn't do is modern metal, like, you know, Dimmu Borgir or Necrophagist, stuff like that. It doesn't do.
That's a real shame, man.
I think I can live without that. I mean, it'll hurt my soul. So David's been a pusher of late, though. Dave's been trying to get everybody in the world to tune down to B. he's like buy the 7-string pack, throw out the high E, and just slide them all in down to get down to B. He claims it's going to be a life-changing experience. He's almost got cultist about it.
Trust me. That HB35 that you have... Do it, man.
I'm actually going to do it, and I'm going to record it for a video specifically dedicated to Dave.
You are not going to regret it.
Cool. I will do so.
So you're telling me that pedal collecting is an addiction?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. Then we're going to have to get together. Like we're going to have our own version of, like, Alcoholics Anonymous here. Hi, my name's Steve. I'm a pedal addict. Hi, Steve.
We tried that on a forum, and it was the worst 12-step program anyway. Because it's like one guy would come in and say, I was really tempted by this pedal today. And everyone else goes, where was it? It doesn't work.
I tell you what, next time we do one of these things, I'll set up a little table or a large table back here. And I'll stack up only one of each of the ones that I've got, so no duplicates. Just we'll see how crazy it gets. I'd be interested to see how many I've actually got. I assumed it'd be around 50, somewhere between 50 and 100. It has to be somewhere in there now. So it's not as bad as it was.
Yeah, I might only be like 25 or 30 pedals, of which I used 4 consistently.
I have one.
One.
Good man.
That's very wise, man. You don't need a lot of them. There sometimes there's only 5% or under difference, and then you know, like yeah, there's so many that are based on the same type of sound that you know, yeah, I don't know. One's a wise move, man. If you're gonna get another one, just get something that does something completely different to what you already got. So
and I think I had that combination of a Blues Junior and the Blues Driver was my setup for like 2 or 3 years. That was my common. I had no other pedals. That was all I ran it with, for the same reason you had. It
and gets I only have two.
You
amps.
Have to have it do the drive.
I only have two amps. I have a Blues Junior, mm-hmm. you know, the NOS with the lacquered stuff on. It looks pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And I've got a Mustang 3, which has you know all those emulations and stuff in it. So I really don't need it for that. You know, the only thing I would use it for would be to play it through the Blues Junior. So you know, I guess I don't really foresee myself having a you know like a big pedal board or anything, but you know, a pedal or two, yeah. My name is Steve, and I'm a pedal addict.
Can we record this? Everybody, somebody put this down and make a note, and let's just circle back to Steve in like a year or two.
yeah.
We've all sounded like that.
What's your pedal collection like, Aaron? Are you afflicted with the same disorders that we are, or?
Well, I'm a poor man, you know. I only have three pedals. I really like the Hoyo Ultimate Driver.
Oh yeah, they're good.
The green one, which is a clone of the Ibanez, I think the
vintage Overdrive, I think that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're great.
I really like that combo with the ultimate drive and the other one, and also
we get to see a little insight into his house here.
Yeah,
his room's a lot cleaner than my room.
The DC.
Yep, it's really nice.
Yeah.
I like the way that Aaron pronounces Joyo. With a Hoyo. That's very cool.
I am now going to call them Hoyos because it sounds so much better. It's like in the U.S. we have Target, but some people call it Target. Target is a big shoot. So we call it Target. So now there will always be Hoyo. Like that is it. Yeah.
I think it's the same thing with the guys in the U.S. Calling Nikon or Nikon?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we call them Nikon here, but yeah, you're right, they're Nikon.
The other thing we have here in the States is twice a week we put out the garbage.
Yeah, the garbage.
Yeah, cool. So what about you, Hutch? What's your pedal collection like if you've
I have like 7 pedals. And to be honest, I don't use them. I have 4 Boss pedals.
Yep.
And one thing I will say about Boss pedals is they are extremely durable.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the sound of a guitar straight into a good amp, and your fingers making the music.
Yeah. No, it's something to be said for that.
By the way, you were talking about closed cabinets before, and you didn't know too many blues guys that use closed cabinets. I believe Gary Moore used the Marshall with a 4x12 closed cabinet.
Yeah, well, that was the exception to the rule. That's what I said. If anyone's using the a 412 cabinet, and it's a Marshall, it'll be . But he's also a high game player too. I know he did do the blues stuff, but. Yeah, he's sort of like in that middle ground of Shredder gone blues, you know. So he, he's got that great big Marshall tone, and I think if you're playing a 412, you know, it has to be it doesn't have to be a closed cab, but generally they're the way to go, I reckon, for heavier styles. There's no doubt about it.
But Joe Bonamassa also has a Marshall Silver Jubilee, an original.
Oh, okay, cool.
Joe Bonamassa has one of almost everything, I think, at this point.
I think he only uses 4 heads. never more than two at a time on his shows. I've actually seen him live, and he's just amazing.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, like, I think I don't know that I would buy much of his music because it's so much more of a live thing. You know, yes. Like, who's like that? Who's the blues guy that has the blue Epiphone now, too?
Gary Clark Jr.
Gary Clark Jr.
His album's great, but if you've ever seen him live, you can't listen to the album because it's not as good. Like, he's just a force live. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, so Gary this likes is, more distortion than I'm used to.
Yeah, his is filthy. It's dirty, yeah. Driven, hard. I love that picture.
Yeah,
every
so
time
that's
I see that picture, it makes me smile.
Guitars and amps there. Unfortunately, I can't find a higher res one, so that's going to have to be it. But
we've all seen the page.
Yeah.
Well, and he had a good interview. He's like, listen, people talk to me when they're like, obviously he's been making a ton of money. He's like, you have no idea. He goes, I've had times where my wife or my business manager looks at me like, are you stupid? He's like, I'm a guy with a gear addiction and a very high limit credit card, and somehow we've tried to figure out how to pay it all off. It was nice that even at that stratosphere of collecting is just like us, the same kind of deal.
It's everything you can afford. Everything that you buy, once you start making more money, you just want to get the top of the line everything. I think that's I've seen that with a few guys I know. They make good bucks, and they have to have custom shop. You know, everything custom shop and custom shop cables. They're probably $1,000. You know,
we'll have to get him on our forum with us, and he can say hi. My name's Joe. I'm a pedal addict.
Joe. Yeah, that's it.
There are plenty. I want to get for the next one my buddy Danny to get on this because he's the same. He fits right in.
yeah, cool.
What's that?
I was just going to say, if you want me to chuck him on the list for the next one, just email me his details if he's happy to do that, and I'll put him on the list. Same goes for anyone else. If you want any of your friends to join in on the chat next time, we'll definitely do it this way again because, it's been a lot easier to... and a lot less stressful than last time, too. And I should also point out, too, that anyone who joins and doesn't have to always stay for the full thing, so don't feel obliged if you do have something to do, that's totally cool. So there's no pressure to hang out the entire time. Just I know it's late in certain parts of the world, and I know David doesn't sleep anymore, but I don't know what time it is in Mexico.
I don't, man.
If it's late, you know, don't... You don't always have to feel obliged to hang out, but you're more than welcome to as well. So, no pressure to anyone who does want to be a part of this. You don't even 10 minutes. Doesn't matter. It's all good.
It's cool. A blues song. You can sleep while you're dead.
Yeah.
Hey, have any of you guys seen Anderton's just did a video recently of the new Vox AV30s? So they're one of those like tube hybrid... where it's tube preamp and kind of a middle hybrid tube, and then they're a solid state power amp. In a moment of weakness, I saw when they were announced at NAMM, someone finally posted a video. I listened to half of Lee and Rob's video, and I'd bought one.
Yeah, well.
Should be here on Monday or Tuesday. But I needed a living room amp that I could go down low that sounds good with headphones, and I had the PV. Valve King 2 Mini had, but it clipped on headphones if you pushed it. And if you look at this, it's not a modeling amp. It's got just two tubes in the pre, and the tones they got out of it were really good for like a house amp.
So this is it.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. Sorry to cut you off. Yeah.
No. So it was really interesting, and I because I all my stuff is in the same room, my guitar corner. Is the same room where my kids all play all day, and it's insane. And I can't play over there and plug in and play because then my little guy who's three yells at me and my wife yells at me, whatever. But we have another little living room where I can put something in there and just play it noodle, and I find myself, if I leave a guitar in there, I'm playing a whole lot more, and it's a perfect excuse to buy something new. But then I saw that, and I was like, you know what, that might be good. And there's a lot of those with the Marshall cores. This is simple because it's all just knobs. There's no screens or programming or USB. It's just... plug in, cool. Play for the 15 minutes and go.
Yeah, they sound really good.
It's analog.
The review by Undertones, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't actually heard it yet. It'd be interesting to check out, I reckon. Cool.
Has anyone played a Bugera G5?
I have.
Any good?
They're nice. I had a Blackstar HT5R, which is kind of a similar 5-watt thing, and I found that the Bugera had better cleans, but I like the drives out of the HT5 better. I really like the Blackstar driven tones. But if you're a clean to slightly dirty guy, I like the G5 better. The problem is at that price, you can go to a V22. Like, there isn't much more money from that 5-watt up, but if you want a 5-watt amp for what they do.
Right, but the reason why I asked about the G5 and the reason why I've been looking at it is you can stick an earphone in a tube amp.
Yeah.
So
really? Yep.
But
it
I will say
an earphone jack.
The earphone, the sound you're going to hear coming out of that would be very similar to that Vox, because what they both do, the Vox has tube pre's, and basically when you go to the earphone, it's taking out of the preamp tube, and it never really runs it through the power amp tube. It does a simulated power amp and sends it to your ears.
Right.
So they both would have a similar tubey feel on the headphones, because it really doesn't use the power tube side. It'll do a simulated power tube to your ear. Not to knock it. Having a good headphone jack is awesome on any app, because you never know, especially if you live near anybody or family, kids, like this time of night, it's the perfect thing.
Well, my problem isn't the volume. My problem is my wife hates the blues.
You're not alone.
But you got trouble, son.
Yeah.
Divorce is too expensive.
But my wife is amazing, and she tolerates my guitar and music habit. She doesn't enjoy any of it, but she tolerates it, and even that's to a point.
I think all the wives are like that.
Well, I'm 65, and I kissed my wife in the third grade, so it gives you an idea of how long we've been together.
Son, that's a record.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
That's keeping.
Yeah, I haven't had much experience with these Bugera amps, so this little 5-watt head looks pretty cool.
They had a bad rep as a company for a while, but they've bounced back, it seems. They tend to burn out for a little while there. They had a bad run, but the G series, the V series, and some of the new ones, people have really been digging them.
These are Bugera's the Behringer brand, isn't it? Same, yeah. Okay. So I played a 22-watt one of these when I was playing in San Francisco. They had basically Bugera amps. I'd never used one before, but I had no pedals, and it wasn't bad, you know. The only thing with them is, man, it weighed a ton. It had to have been as heavy as my Super Reverb, and it was a 112. Like it was brutal. You couldn't lift it without.
Sure.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, exactly. It was mental heavy. That's the one thing I remember about it the most, was how heavy it was. So
yeah, they're good stuff. You can't beat the price on them. Some people knock them because a lot of their amps are copies. The V22 was nice. The G5 also. They're not trying to just clone something. Yeah. They had a bunch of them. Sorry, a guy was saying on the chat. About the Yamaha THR-10C as a headphone amp. I love that little Yamaha amp. It sounds, when you adjust to it's like as a desktop amp, it's fantastic. Mine's out of my office.
But that's solid state, right?
It's all solid state, but it at that volume level, sitting playing in front of it like on a desk or whatever, it sounds great, but you can't come from playing it out of a big combo and then play out of it. It has to be like you just get tuned to listening to that, and it's got soul, especially the blues one, the C, because I just like the amp models that are on that. It's a lot of fun.
The C is the newest one, right?
I think the X was the new one, which was like the high gain. I don't know the order it came out. They had the regular, the C, and the X is like your shreddy kind of one.
Well, I think they had the classic. And then they came out specifically with the C as a blues amp.
Yeah, I think so.
I got something to show you guys. I just got onto some more of their amplifiers, the Bugera ones. Check this out and see if you think it reminds you of anything. I'll just load up. Excuse me, I've just had a drink. Let's see. I have mineral water. I should point out it's nothing hardcore.
Mine
just take anything else.
Oh yeah.
Does that look like the little Vox?
Yep. Yeah, I know that everyone's going with the little lunchboxy things.
Hey, here's there's a question for everybody.
Yeah, go
now
ahead.
Now that when you play live these days, everything gets mic'd, as opposed to the old days when you needed, 21 gigawatts of power because you were the sound system. And given that the trend to lower powered amps, what do you think is probably a good wattage for a tube amp these days? 15s, 20s, 30s, 40s?
Who wants to go first?
It's the answer is yes.
All of the above?
And I don't know. I'm not a good guy to know the difference between a Class A and a Class A, B, and whatever, but I have had 15-watt amps that were louder than, sensibly louder, whether louder overall or whatever. But like their punchy, good thing, they were louder than other ones. Anyone that's played a Hot Rod Deluxe crank knows that that is a, was it 36 or 45? It's a hell of a lot of noise that comes out of that box. So it depends a lot on the amp, and then what's the room? Are you going to mic it? All that stuff. It's hard. I love like a 18 to 25, but I mostly play at home. So I can get those if I'm angry. I can get them real loud and have a lot of fun with them, or I can get them down and they still don't just die.
I think it depends on the headroom you would like to achieve, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that too.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I think this Soldano, Jet City, it doesn't have a lot of headroom, so it almost gets crunchy very, very, very soon. Mm-hmm. So
would you think 15 to 30 amps? Now, we're talking tube amps now. Would you say 15 watts to 30 watts would probably cover a lot of ground?
Yeah. I'd say, yeah. My personal... Sorry, guys. Go ahead.
Especially if you're going to go in through a PA after the amp. You know, where you could hook up a mic into a PA system.
Yeah. I think it also comes down to the sound that you like as well, and whether or not you want that big, round, clean tone, or whether you like your amp to sound like it's about to explode, like those older Tweed amps. Like Rick, for example, likes lower watt amps that he can turn up and get that really saturated sound from the amp. I don't really like that a whole lot. I find it a little too sort of fizzy and weird. That's just personal preference. Like some people live by that. But for me, if I'm playing live, it has to be at least 20, sort of 22 watts-ish up to about four, well, I've kept most of my amps at under or at 40 watts, give or take. So, for me, that's plenty loud. These do sound great when you can get them to that point, but I kind of enjoy, like, I love my good clean tone that I can run my pedals on rather than having an always clipping tone if I'm playing live. I like that to be able to use the big clean sound if I need it. Hot Rod Deluxe kind of amps are a bit of an all-rounder on their clean tone for me. That style of amp is really usable for people who use pedals. It's a good platform. The Supersonic 22s are a great amp that you can get a good clean out of. Yeah, you can get a great clean. The Dirty Channel's great. That's probably Fender's best amp in terms of drive channel they've ever made, in my opinion. I reckon that's a killer.
It's more accessible drive, too, than the Hot Rod. Like, the Hot Rod, I find I've got to get it really loud to get that, where the Supersonic I got more quicker. I can get to where I want it. It's a little hard.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think the Hot Rod channel rolls out too much of the stuff that you like when you click it in. It takes out the warmth of the clean channel. Whereas the Supersonic sounds fat and thick sounding. I love it. I reckon it's the best. Yeah, so there's no right answer. It just depends on where you're playing and what your preference is. I think some guys will always lean towards the smaller wattage amps that they can leave cranked and then have that sound, that always dirty type of tone on the most part, unless they're using their volume control on their guitar. But I like to start with a big clean tone. I've sort of come to the conclusion that I've never found a drive channel on an amp that I like more than my clean tone with a good pedal. And that's just, maybe I maybe not tried enough amps, but maybe I have, I don't know. But there's probably some great ones out there.
I just thought of something. I'm sorry, I just thought of something myself. Okay. It also, I think, depends on, I have a, whether you call it pre and post or gain and volume, but if you have a master volume on top of that, like my Bugera has a gain and a volume, but it also has a master volume.
Okay.
And that makes a big difference. Because then you can dial in your tone and crank down the master volume. It's almost like an attenuator.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, very nice.
You can jangle the power tubes, or you can jangle the preamp tubes one way or the other.
Exactly. But you can still turn down the volume with the master.
Right, right.
Yeah,
that's
that makes
sense. That's
the advantage
of a tube amp over something that's, you know, a little more electronic that we see these days, like the Mustangs and stuff.
Well, it's funny, too.
Shane, does your Super Reverb have a master volume on it?
No, you just volume control.
Grin and bear it and push the front end of it, right?
Yeah.
Loud and louder.
I played it last week for the first time out. I use it for all my demos now because it just sounds really nice. And I took it out for a play and I just went, wow, this is just, yeah, it's great. You get it up to about 4.5 and that's where it starts to sing. But, you know, that's brutal if you're in front of it in close proximity. It's pretty loud. But, man, there's something about letting these sort of amps just go. You know, you can run them up and they sound great. But this is the other thing too. I've used this on 10, believe it or not. I've got it up full blast and I don't like it as much as the amp at half with my favorite pedal. So that tube saturation sound doesn't sound as pleasing to me as the sound I can get with a tube screamer, believe it or not. So it's a funny old thing, man. You always think you want to run the amp on 10, but I don't know. I just found it a little brittle. What are your thoughts? Have you ever come across that with crank and clean channels on amps that sometimes it's not as nice as what you'd hope?
Jeff Diamond said he's an amp builder in the U.S.
Yeah.
Mostly high gain, but Jeff Diamond, I've had conversations with him like we're doing today, and he said that the amp, once it hits... If your dial goes to 7, I mean 10 as an example, once you hit about 6.5, you're really kind of at, you're maximizing that tube. The rest gives you volume, but it doesn't do anything in terms of tone.
Yeah,
so you get that, the sag, which is a tone, but it's like, I think when you get so much, you get almost that oversaturated, but there's certain stuff that was recorded that way that it sounds kind of good, but... It definitely does. I'm like a 5-6 kind of guy, and kind of push it that way. It's just fun because then you can hit it with a pedal if you can get it there, and then just take it over. Got a good something to hit on the front side of it with. It's nice.
Shane, you got a Fender Blues Deluxe once upon a time, didn't you?
Yeah, I've still got it. I used it yesterday. Yeah, still got it. It's great, man. I got to say though, like when did I use it? It was last night. I was underwhelmed by the drive channel. I got home from work and I was in a bit of a rush and I couldn't find my power supply, so I just grabbed my amp and guitar. I thought, let's go old school and, you know, no pedals. I didn't enjoy it at all. So I probably just should have stayed on the clean channel. But the thing is, I got a really loud speaker in there. I got that Eminence Swamp Thing speaker in it. It's the loudest speaker you can buy, I think, on the market. Like, it makes the amp a whole lot louder than it would with the stock one. And the clean channel on, like, 3 was just, man, it was way too loud. So I got on the drive channel. I cranked up the drive on 10, had the master on the drive channel up at, or the volume up at, like, 3 or 4. And it had way less sustain and mids than I was used to, and it was like, I think I need to practice. They say that practice fixes all tone problems, but I was really struggling last night. I couldn't get the sound that was I'm so used to. So it's a good good lesson learned, I think, last night. But yeah, I love that app. So, well, sorry, Steve, what was your question anyway, man? I don't even remember.
I thought I had remembered seeing you do some of your videos with it. You know, yeah. It's Beyond the Blues Junior. It's probably the next amp that has my interest. You know,
great. Best clean single 12 sound you're gonna get, man. They're great. They got that big, you know, muscular sort of clean tone. Like I had that and a Deluxe Reverb at the same time. I like them both, but when you hear them side by side, the Blues Deluxe just has that really big round sound about it that it doesn't appeal to everybody, but I really like that tone.
I had a chance to play one in Guitar Center, but I was looking at the guitar, not the amplifier. With hindsight, I should have, you know, gone over and twisted the nozzles and see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is probably the amplifier I'd be interested in past the Blues Junior.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. No, that'd be a great choice. Like I said, they're probably the best, one of the best Fender cleans, I reckon, are around. And they do have a different sound to the Hot Rod Deluxes as well. Everyone thinks they're the same, but they're not. They are voiced differently. I did a shootout video between them both on clean. And the Blues Junior, the Blues Deluxe has a very different sound. It does have more of a tweedy, old school sound than the Hot Rod. Hot Rod's more smooth. So they're both nice. They're both but very different to each other. So yeah, that was an interesting test. Sorry, I think I cut someone else off. Was that you, Hutch, before that I cut off?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nah.
Cool.
He's a Jersey guy. That's when people ask us stuff, we just go, nah.
You guys might be neighbors. Who knows?
I don't know where in the state he's from, but I'm from Jersey too, Hutch.
Are you? I'm from Whiting.
I'm from Flanders. Okay, northwest corner.
I'm down by Tom's River.
Ah, okay, yeah, you're over by the coast. Right.
Yes. Cool. Well, guys, I set a 2-hour time limit on the stream today so I could actually go do some stuff now that I'm working full time. So yeah, it's getting close to that. And I don't know if it just cuts us off towards the end, but I just wanted to thank everybody for shooting me an email and being on the stream and having a chat. It was nice to meet Aaron as well for the first time. So thanks so much for joining in, man. It was great having you.
It's a pleasure, man. Have a good night. Day,
yeah, you too.
Whatever.
Cool. And yeah, thanks to Hutch as well. I've been speaking to Jerry for probably 10 years on YouTube or thereabouts now. So yeah, it's great to finally see you face to face, man. And I'm glad you are enjoying the Joe Barton pickups as well. That's cool.
Thank you, Shane, for everything you do.
Hey, no worries.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Times two on that one.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I'll give anyone who's watching on YouTube, check out Nick's YouTube channel. I've already got some great stuff, so yeah.
More stuff coming. It's been a little slow this last week, but we've got a bunch of videos I've got to spend tomorrow cutting up. So
I'm a subscriber, Nick.
Cool.
For the guys who watch Nick in the States videos, please beg him to drop tune
I may, now that I woofed down a cup of coffee, I may spend the next 2 hours when I'm not going to be sleeping doing that just for giggles today. I don't think I have the strings for it though.
Hutch has got my album cover up. I just thought I'd say thanks.
Oh, nice.
There it is. Cool. There's one of my.
I have both of them, but I love this one.
Thanks. Nice. Oh, that's great.
The next time we'll talk about Barncaster.
Hey, there we go.
By then, it's a legit from a barn.
Yeah.
Wood with a little mini Duncan and a fat 50s bridge.
Hey, Nick.
Yep.
My birthday is next Friday, so if you want.
I'll send it down. Hopefully, it clears customs by then, right?
So, David, thanks again for being a part of this, man. It's always good having you here, and we'll speak again. No worries. And thanks to everyone who's watched on YouTube over the last couple of hours. Appreciate that. And this stream will be left up on YouTube, unlike the last one. So, yeah, I don't have to.
This was good, clean fun.
Yeah. All right, gents. Well, thanks again, and I'll shoot you an email, and the next one will probably be a couple of weeks from now, I reckon. So, Steve, thanks again. Being here, too, man. Cool.
Thanks, guys. Take care, everybody.
All right, guys.
Take care, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.